Manuscript Releases, Volume 17, Numbers 1236 to 1300. M.R. Number 1274. God calls upon workers to be producers, not consumers. Medical missionary work to be pursued. Study the Word. It should be made a part of gospel labor to help forward promising young men who give evidence that the love of truth and righteousness has a constraining influence upon them, leading them to dedicate themselves to the work of God as medical missionaries, as canvassers, as evangelists. Let a fund be established to carry this work forward. Then let those who have received health go forth to minister to the sick and suffering. This work will surely open the way for the balm of Gilead to be applied to sin-sick souls. Much instruction is given in the Scriptures regarding the necessity of the work of helping one another. When on earth our Savior manifested the tenderest pity for physical suffering, and while giving physical relief, He never failed to minister to the spiritual necessities. This example is to guide all who shall engage in God's service. His children are to follow in His footsteps. The gospel is the manifestation of the grace of God to fallen man. Those who obey the word of God will understand that by bearing much fruit, they testify to the power of God. The tame, spiritless work which produces no fruit is no evidence of a living connection with God. Without heart religion, a love for God that is all-absorbing, how can men and women labor for souls, doing the work essential for genuine conversion? Until the heart is humble and contrite before God, until the sins which the Word of God denounces are put away, God's blessing cannot be given. Those who work successfully for God must learn the first principles of Christianity. Those who find that they do not love God with heart, soul, strength, and mind might better go apart and rest a while. They might better take up some other work until they breathe a higher, purer atmosphere. For God will not work with them until their hearts are purified through obeying His word. It is those who have the least evidence of the true working of the Spirit of God in their labors who feel the most self-exaltation. These will repress and count of little esteem those to whom God has given the precious truths for whom His flock is starving, the bread of life, which will satisfy their soul hunger. There have been many who have not given encouragement to the principles of health reform. They have not encouraged the medical missionary work. Why? Let them answer this question themselves. They refused to become acquainted with the medical missionary work within their own borders. For no well-defined reason, they brought it into disrepute, refusing to give it their sympathy and cooperation. The Lord has marked the motives of those who have bound about the work in its various lines. Evangelistic work has been done by some who have not been regarded as qualified for the ministry. These persons have moved forward as the Lord has made known to them their duty and have done a noble work. Brother Blank has been doing missionary work for many years. To all intents and purposes, he has practiced the gospel. It is not sermonizing that makes a minister. This is where men have failed who, from lack of spiritual discernment, have failed to judge righteously. Brother Blank has established churches and built meeting houses in various places. When he has in one place carried the interest as far as he felt warranted, he has passed on to another place to which the truth had never been carried, leaving behind a large number converted to the truth with a place of worship in which to meet. Those who audit the accounts of the workers should not settle with such workers as Brother Blank according to the precise time they have spent in preaching sermons. Their practical work is of more value than any number of sermons, for it is the gospel lived, the gospel acted. The manner in which Brother Blank has been treated needs correction. The time he has spent in establishing schools and building meeting houses is not to be counted out. In his practical work, he was preparing minds to understand the truth as it is in Jesus. It is such men as this that God has honored. But the work he has originated and blessed men have passed by with scarcely a word of encouragement. Workers he has sent out have been settled with by the auditing committee in a way not proportionate to the work they have done. The Lord calls for workers, not for sermonizers, for men who will do real work. The time is coming when we shall take a retrospective view of the work we have done in this life. Then every man's work will stand at its true value. Then those who have souls to show as a result of their labor will receive recognition from God.
If those who have criticized had gone forth into the dark places of the earth, where the light of truth has never shone, and had worked earnestly for the Master, they would today have been standing on vantage ground. God would have enabled them to do acceptable service for Him. Many today are rejoicing in the truth, full of thankfulness and hope, who would never have been reached if the Lord had not put into the hearts of human instrumentalities a longing desire to save souls for Christ. He enabled them to impart a knowledge of the truth to other souls. The field has been presented to me. Not a few, but many souls will be saved as a result of men looking to Jesus for their ordination and orders. Such men have taken up work in the hardest parts of the field and have labored successfully for the Master. What we need is men who will labor for those who know not the truth, who will go out to rescue those who are out of the fold. Let our experienced ministers take young men with them into the field. The camp meeting season is right upon us. At these meetings, men are to learn to labor for souls as they that must given an account. There are thousands and thousands dead in trespasses and sins. Thousands are passing into the grave unwarned and unconverted. Who will render an account for the many souls uncared for, without God and without hope in the world? When ministers, teachers, and managers breathe the breath of God, a high and holy consecration will be manifest. Men have lost the life of God by opposing those who have received a message from heaven. God calls for workers who will wrestle earnestly for the prize of eternal life. The Spirit of God must come to every gospel worker, to every church member, if those who are perishing in sin are to be saved to Christ. The crown of life is gained by those who run with patience the race set before them. Brethren, God forbid that you should lose this prize. God is not pleased with your inefficiency. You are doing nothing to gain a high, noble spirituality. The torpor of spiritual death has been long upon you. It is not your orthodox theories, not your membership in the church, not the diligent performance of a certain round of duties that gives evidence of life. In an ancient tower in Switzerland, I saw the image of a man moved by machinery. It looked like a living man, and I whispered when I came near, as if it would hear me. But though the image looked lifelike, it had no real life. It was moved by machinery. Motion is not necessarily life. We may go through all the forms and ceremonies of religion, but unless we are alive in Christ, our work is worthless. The Lord calls for living, truth-loving, Bible-believing Christians. There are hundreds who, though professedly following the Lord, have no light from heaven to reflect to the dark parts of the earth. Oh, if we realized how the Lord looks upon the attitude in which some have stood for years, we would change at once and earnestly seek the Lord. I say to you in the name of the Lord, repent, repent, repent. Humble your hearts as you have not done for years. God knows that you are in need of a power out of and away from yourselves. You should be alarmed at your deficiency and unchristlikeness. Be thankful that it is not too late for wrongs to be righted. There are many in the ministry who are consumers and not producers. All have been bought with a price, and all should use in God's service the energy which they have received from Him. Christ says, "It is my Father's good pleasure that ye bear much fruit." God desires his ministers to deal wisely with all who are connected with his work. He abhors careless dealing, giving faithful workers little reward, while those who produce nothing receive much. Revelation 3, verse 1 to 5, quoted. God calls for sincere, earnest, persevering laborers. We have considered the tithe to be a blessing. God forbid that through the perversity of men it should become a snare to those who receive it. It means much for men who are sustained by the tithe to be consumers and not producers, failing to show any fruit for their labor. The workers must make a better record than they have done in the past. They are not doing justice to themselves or to the cause of God. Work, brethren. Go into the vineyard of the Lord and labor for souls. Consider no work too taxing. God sees that selfishness is being cherished by some who for years have been in the cause as paid workmen. They have wasted the opportunities given them. By inaction, they have weakened their spiritual sinews and muscles. Those who would become successful wrestlers must put to the tax brain, bone, and muscle. Improvement is needed in many lines of the work. New lines of work must be organized. New workers must go into the field to labor for souls. These workers are to dig in God's Word for the precious ore of truth. As they search the Word, the truth will appear to them in a new aspect.
Search the Scriptures, said the divine teacher, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. The members of the Church of God need to be instructed and educated, line upon line, as a Bible class. 9/10 of our people, including many of our teachers and ministers, are content with surface truths. In the Bible, the truth is compared to treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. He desires the privilege of searching every part of the field, that he may make himself the possessor of all its treasures. I call upon my brethren, in the name of the Lord, to sink the shaft deep into the mines of truth. The Lord declares that his church is not to be governed by human rules or precedents. Men are not capable of ruling the church. God is our ruler. I am oppressed with the thought of the objectionable human management seen in our work. God says, "Hands off. Rule yourselves before you attempt to rule others." Strange things have been done, things that God abhors. For men to claim that the voice of their counsels in their past management is the voice of God seems to me to be almost blasphemy. Ellen G. White Estate, Washington, D.C., July 9, 1987. Entire manuscript. Explanatory note. The opinions in this document were expressed by Ellen White at a time when only a small group represented the General Conference. After the General Conference was reorganized in 1901 to provide broad representation, Mrs. White took a different view. At the 1909 General Conference, she encouraged strong support for the General Conference. At that session, she said, "At times, when a small group of men entrusted with the general management of the work have, in the name of the General Conference, sought to carry out unwise plans and to restrict God's work, I have said that I could no longer regard the voice of the General Conference, represented by these few men, as the voice of God. But this is not saying that the decisions of a General Conference composed of an assembly of duly appointed representative men from all parts of the field should not be respected. God has ordained that the representatives of his church from all parts of the earth, when assembled in a general conference, shall have authority. Let us give to the highest organized authority in the church that which we are prone to give to one man or to a small group of men. 9. 260-261. See further The Early Elmshaven Years by A.L. White, pages 75-94, 108-110.